And we're at the Main Street Diner, as Craig mentioned. And we always like to come out to Oberlin. A lot of things happening in the town. And someone who knows a lot about that, the president of Oberlin College, Marvin Krizlov, joins us. Good morning, Marvin.
Good morning.
Yeah, can we first talk about your mode of transportation this morning?
Well, I biked over, and it's such a beautiful day. Had to be out there with the bike.
Is that something you do on occasion, or how often do you usually
travel? Well, I like to be as environmentally friendly and as active as possible, so I try to do it as much as I can. Today worked for me, so.
And you see that on the campus a lot with the different people walking or biking, getting around, that sort of thing.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely.
One of the things I was looking at, and it's interesting, you know, on the Oberlin College website, on the phone app here, it's very well designed, but it makes a statement on here. It talks about Oberlin is the ideal laboratory in which to study and design the world we want. I've never heard of college in the sort of referred to as a laboratory, but in a sense, it kind of does combine things.
Well, you know, this college was established by utopian Christians in the 1833, actually, and even since that time, we're no longer religiously affiliated, but we do challenge our students and faculty to think about what might make the best world. And so in terms of our studies and in terms of extracurriculars, people tend to be focused on making a difference in the world and making the world better, whether it's in music or academics or athletics or any aspect of what they do. And service learning is very much a part of the culture here. A lot of our students are working in the local schools and other community service organizations as well.
Does that come from faculty and staff, or does that come from the student body who has new students come in, they see what the upperclassmen are up to and what they're doing, and they kind of pass it along that way?
That's a great question. I think it's both directions. I think students who come here are attracted to the notion of making the world better, but I also think that the culture of Oberlin, and that's embodied by the faculty and staff, sort of reinforces that as well. So I think it's a two-way street, actually.
We see that in green technology on campus, and we see construction underway of the Peter B. Lewis Conference Center. Where does that stand?
Well, if you drive by the Oberlin Inn, you will see a sign saying it's open for business. And I want to make clear to all your listeners that it is open for business. We have about half of the rooms in the restaurant, and Brewster's is still open. About a year from now, give or take, we will have a beautiful LEED Platinum Plus hotel and conference center that will be devoted to not only providing a high level of comfort to customers and local clients, but also a place to study about sustainability as well. So it serves an educational purpose as well as will be a great amenity for the community as well.
You've been now president, what, about 7 years?
I'm in the middle of my seven and a half years.
Okay. So you're into it far enough to be established with sort of things that you start to leave sort of a footprint or an idea. Where do you see things going in the, you know, the next 5 years, or what kind of the plans for the college do you foresee?
Well, lots of exciting stuff going on. I mentioned the Oberlin Inn. We just opened up the Knowlton Athletic Complex, which is going to be a great home for six of our sports teams, as well as some of the local high school teams. We've had Oberlin High School football play two games there, and the soccer tournament, Elyria Catholic versus Oberlin High School, was just played there as recently. So it's a great community facility. It's going to really take our varsity athletics in an upward direction, but also be a great place for the community. So, you know, we're working on improving some of our facilities, creating some new facilities, but fundamentally this place is about people, and so we want to make sure that students, faculty, and staff who are coming here are excited and very motivated to do the kind of work they do, and that's all good. We're in the middle of a strategic planning process to think about what the future direction of Oberlin is, but I'm pleased to report that we're doing very well in terms of attracting the kinds of people and the kinds of talent that we want to have here.
Which is your favorite season in Oberlin? Do you have one?
I love the fall. I love the fall because there's this sense of newness, and there are new students coming on board and new faculty and staff, and there's a sense of possibility and excitement, and of course the colors are particularly beautiful, and it's a great season for biking and walking and running outside. So we're still in the middle of that, and I got to say I'm loving it.
When we talked with you last time we did a spotlight, you mentioned at that time you were also doing some teaching. Is that something that you still continue to do?
Absolutely. I'm teaching class. It's very interesting this year. I'm teaching class on the elections of 2014, and so we're heading down into the final home stretch, and we've got a lot of work to do in our class. We're tracking elections in different states and nationwide, and we've got Parents Day weekend event that will be featuring some of the other faculty who deal with this. So I'm actually finding it very interesting because I love to think about elections, and this year has been an interesting year to watch and think about with our students.
What makes it so interesting?
Well, you know, it's hard to figure out what's going on out there. It seems like there's not a lot of enthusiasm, and the voter turnout is probably not going to be very high, so that's interesting, just trying to figure out who's going to get in the mix. And gosh, it's a hard election to figure out what's really happening out there. I do hope that people, wherever they are, turn out and vote, though, because I think that's so important for our democracy and our country.
Where do you think the campaigning is going? Technology allows people to be more responsive. Maybe there's sometimes too quick response. It doesn't allow something to settle and people to make a proper response to something. How do you think that plays into all of the politics?
You know, that's a great question, because my students were saying that they get a lot of their information online from social media and so forth. And of course, the way we still conduct elections in most parts of this country, a lot of the focus is on TV ads. And the students are not really TV watchers. And so one of the things we're talking about in class is, what will the election of the future look like? Will it be so TV heavy, or will it be online? And of course, there are issues with that as well. Not everyone has access to online media all the time. So, you know, it's an interesting question about what is happening out there and how people are getting information. And of course, newspapers are getting thinner and thinner, and in some places they're not being published daily. And so newspapers are becoming perhaps less important, but there are all sorts of innovative things that are happening. So it's up for grabs. And I think one of the things I enjoy with my students is that they are helping think about what that will be like 10, 20 years from now.
The voting process has changed as well, too, not just sort of one day where everybody shows up and you can stand out there and wave your banner or show your sign. It's a slower process, which then kind of makes everything a little bit, confusing, I guess, sometimes.
Well, early voting, and then some states have the mail-in voting as well. And on the one hand, you can argue that makes it easier for people. On the other hand, you can say that, as you're saying, there is something lost when not all people go to the polls on the same day having the same set of information. So, I don't know. Lots of interesting policy questions here.
Any future candidates in your class?
You know, I think so. I think so. There are a few that I think are very interested in it. And we have a great program at Oberlin. We'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary, called the Cole Scholars Program, C-O-L-E, not K-O-H-L. Cole, K-O-H-L is our jazz building. Cole Scholars is a program for elective politics. And we give students a stipend to volunteer in campaigns over the summer, and this is the 10th anniversary, and they'll be coming back mid-November. Actually, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, who's an alum, the mayor of Baltimore, will be here. What the purpose of that program was to expose students to elective politics, and I think it's doing a great job. And I see some future politicians in our class. They're very smart, thoughtful kids, and they're exactly the kind of people you want to have in elective politics, in my view.
We're talking today with the president of Oberlin College, Marvin Krizlov. We had some people from the conservatory yesterday, and they made the statement that they have like 500 concerts in one year, like more than two a day. You have athletics going on. There's other different types of things. How do you find time as a president to sort of spread your acknowledgement around, being able to be a part of the things, to let know that the president's sort of watching, cares about what happens in this part of the campus and that sort of thing?
Well, it is important for me to get out there, and I try to do that. Sometimes I don't stay for all the events, so I might go for half of an event or pop in, and people are very kind in recognizing that I have to do a lot more things. Plus, I have my own family, so I like to see them every now and then just so they don't forget who I am. But lots going on. The Allen Art Museum, we're We're renovating the sculpture court. It's looking beautiful. Tomorrow night we have a convocation. Jeffrey Sachs, who's one of the world's leading experts on economic development and fighting poverty. That's free, 7:30 Finney Chapel. And then my wife and I are doing a cameo. It's a secret, but I'm sharing it with you next week in our production of Street Scene, the opera at Hall Auditorium. And that's by Kurt Vile and Langston Hughes. It starts November 5th. So lots going on, and I just pop around and try to do as many things as I can and enjoy all the richness of Oberlin.
The cameo, is that your wife's idea or your idea?
You know, it actually was sort of an idea that came to us from the opera director, Jonathan Field, who I think you're going to be talking with tomorrow. So
get some more details on that.
Yeah, he's a brilliant guy, and you know, it's sort of fun for us, and we're working on our lines. We haven't done it, performed on stage in quite a while, so in a play anyway, so we're working on it.
It's fun. It kind of keeps you just sort of connected and sort of just enjoy the experience of college life as it is on a campus.
Absolutely. Like absolutely.
That's good. Well, we appreciate your time this morning. Thank you for stopping by the Main Street Diner. President Krizloff, thanks for sharing the time with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you.